like it was full. It was just starting to go down, and the sun was just starting to rise.
Did you put your arms out and make believe you were making that happen?
No. This chapter 12, verse 6, is sort of the culmination of everything in Ecclesiastes. The silver cord be loosed, or a better translation is broken. That means the line of genealogy is gone. The golden bowl be broken. The idea of gaining the golden bowl is, in many schools of thought, is the law, the Torah. And it's no longer the means by which you can even attempt at righteousness. Now the law's only purpose is to shut up all your mouths. Or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. The way you got water from a cistern was a wheel thing. And so there's no more any activity that you can do to gain this Holy Spirit or to gain righteousness, or it's all gone. The whole system of thought, it's not just the of Jewish thought, remember, because the Torah was spiritual. Now it totally ended all forms of bettering self. And that's what this culmination in this verse means. What? Nobody's wheels are turning. Nobody's cistern wheels are trying to turn. I can't make fun of Tricia today because she's not here. So.
I wonder why she's not here today.
You know?
I have a guess.
What's that?
Who gives a damn what you think? Nobody cares what you think.
Well, nobody cares what I think either.
That's what you said here.
Okay, then, verse 7. Now we're coming to the culmination. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, this has tons of meaning. Then everything that all that you have eaten for sustenance in the past, that you've been led by your belly, the dust returns to the earth, you see it as nothing. And then the spirit returns to him who gave it. Now, there's a whole section of the law about this idea of purification and purity. And we've talked about it a little bit yesterday. The best comment about this is from a guy named Rabbi Samuel. And he said, this statement is analogous to the laws of ritual purity. And he said, Samuel gave a loaf of bread that was ritually clean. And he said, see, I am ritually clean. My house is ritually clean. My utensils are clean. And this loaf of bread is clean. If you return it to me in the same condition that I hand it to you, well and good. Otherwise, it will be burned in your presence. Now, similarly, God speaks to man. Behold, I am pure. My habitation is pure. My attendants are pure. And the spirit which I gave you is pure. If you return it to me pure as I gave it to you, well and good. Otherwise, it and everything else will be burned in your presence. Now, this has to do with all of the laws of ritual purity. It's called, I think the word is Temura. And so, the whole process with regard to this, the seed of Christ, the thing that happened on Pentecost, that the seed was shed on all flesh. It has to be returned to him ritually clean. Only that which came from eternity can return to eternity. So then what has been going on in all of time? All that has been happening is that you are slowly removing the places where the garment is spotted by your flesh, so that that which is within you that is ritually pure, ritually clean, which completed the law, returns to the mystery, returns to eternity. And the one part of it that's hard and almost impossible to understand with the human mind, and with anybody's mind, is this mystery of the bride. Because the bride is the call, the totality of all of the various members of his church from all of time and all of space, who either individually or corporately have removed or removed themselves from the spots of the flesh. And that, in a nutshell, is the gospel. And it's the opposite of you becoming something. And it's if you, you know, I spent 12 years studying the law, and I still don't know it. But it's not that the studying of the law was anything. It's that in order to understand all of the ideas that are going on in the New Testament, all of the mystery of this purification and all of the mystery of the finished work of Christ, again, Paul said, I write unto you that know the law. If you don't know the law, then you will just apply what you know or think from a flesh or carnal standpoint and give that meaning to this, to the mystery of God. And in doing so, I'm not saying anything about salvation or not. All I'm saying is that from God's perspective, the only thing that's happening in time and space is the bride. And that bride is perfect because of the finished work of Christ. So anything we do to enhance ourselves individually or corporately, then we make that which is was that we make the loaf that was pure impure because we have spotted it with the flesh. The garment is spotted by the flesh. Now, this is hard to understand, but it's the message of everything we've studied. Then what shall this man do? What shall I do? How do I live my life? What do I do? Well, what do you do to do the work of God? You believe on him who he has sent. Period. There is no other work of God. And that, hopefully, by this one statement, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit shall return unto God who gave it. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and all of these this crap about people's operating in the anointing, and that is all horse hockey, because the Spirit of God doesn't do anything other than reveal Christ. And you cannot reveal Christ if you're improving you, if you're getting something for you, if you're concerned about what you're going to do about this or that. So this then, when you've seen all this, then you are finally confessing with the Lord Jesus. You're confessing the Lord Jesus. Because to confess means to speak the same thing, to see the same thing. You can't see the same thing unless you've heard the same thing. So all of the attempts at trying to learn and do and get understanding and all of these things all fly out the window at this juncture. Then shall the dust return to the earth from which it came, and the Spirit shall return to God who gave it. So this is the summary statement for all of Ecclesiastes. And this is why it is the final reading in order for somebody to enter the marriage supper of the Lamb on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. The rest of the last few verses are just an expansion of that, what I've just said. What?
Well, I'm trying to think of what the question is that's in my head. It has something to do with when you said a couple minutes ago, you said the bride is comprised of the believers throughout all of time and space who have put aside the filth and the flesh, or something like that. Okay. That's over there. Now, over here is the idea that we're not perfected. No one is perfected in the flesh. Christ wasn't perfected in the flesh.
He was perfected in the flesh.
Well, he wasn't justified in the flesh.
He's not justified in the flesh.
So, you don't get to be part of the bride by being sinless, by being perfect, by doing good, by accomplishing a list of things to do. There must be some point at which
that
God's mercy says, okay, you're part of the bride.
Well,
you're not, you didn't get it right, but you're part of the bride.
Yeah, that point is the mystery of grace. That point comes from always knowing that you're not worthy to be part of it.
And that's the thing that we can't even think about. I can't say to myself, well, clearly Adolf Hitler or Saddam Hussein did not get in.
No, let's go to Romans 10, and Romans 10 speaks of this. Again, the only thing that we can do at the bottom line is love God and have fun.
No. And give it up to a loving father and say,
it's your business. And I can't judge. This is why, I mean, it happened again last night. It was huge. You know, whether it was Benny Hinn or anybody else, because I got interviewed by the Marine Times or somebody like that, or some of the Marine paper, because in Yuma, Arizona, this big charismatic church right outside the base, and they're recruiting but they're not really recruiting, they're just evangelizing. And I said, and the guy that called me didn't know anything about anything. And I mean, but he said, we some people are saying they're a cult, and I said, it's not cultic. It's just, I said, it's just spiritual infancy. It's not our business. All we can do is to speak what we see, and we can't say that because of that somebody else is wrong. And when I said that to him internally, again, it has happened to me many times. I was overwhelmed by this sensation that of what Paul said, whether it's for bonds or whether it's for freedom, whatever it is, Christ is preached. And I can't even explain that feeling. But it's real. It's
well, I think it's knowing that God's in charge.
Yeah.
It's not up to my little mind to tell him what to do.
Okay, let's go to chapter 10 and verse 4. For Christ is the end or the finality or the finishness of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. In other words, if you're going to pay attention to one point in the law, then you're judged by whether you're trying to do it, all of it. It's either all faith or no faith. There's no in between. And he said, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, if you were targuming this, you would say not even in your heart. Say not even in your private moments. Say not even to yourself. Say not even in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? For that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep, or to the pit, or to Gehenna, or hell, whatever you want to call it. That is to bring Christ up from the dead. And in a lot of translations, it said, as though you could be saved by your own work. So it's never our business to say who is redeemed, who isn't redeemed, who is saved, who isn't saved. Not even in your heart. It's not even your business to say, I am saved.
Yeah, starting with yourself.
Yeah. Because all that we can do is abandon ourselves to His love and His mercy. And it never stops. And I mean, I've had endless discussions with Tom about you can never again be right about anything. And this is huge. So what do we do? How do we live? How does this man live? You believe on him who he has sent. Well, that's impractical. No, it's not. And it doesn't require 50 years or 30 years, or it doesn't require you to even know how to talk. It doesn't require you to have any intelligence. It's this faith, because all can see the vanity. All it requires is seeing that vanity and then calling out to God. And whoever calls out to God when they come to the end of themselves, there he is. But it's, I can't call out to God in a deal. I mean, I can as a child. I can, the same way as a child, I called out and wanted, you know, I wanted everything in the store. Or I wanted to go. I didn't want to go to my cousin's birthday party. Or I don't know why I always remember that. But
what's the dress your mother made you wear?
but it's this attitude that is real. It's not. It has nothing to do with ever judging anyone, whether they're right or wrong. It's simply meeting need as it's arisen. And you never worry about what you don't have. You just you give out what you have. You never try to worry about whether it's successful or not. That's not your business. You never concern yourself with somebody's response to you. But, and again, this is, this has to be lived, to me, it has to be lived in community, because without it, you could pretty soon you can really get deceived.
You know, everything that you just said in the last minute or two, you can see it in the natural. You can see people who are free and unselfconscious and graceful and alive, and on the other end, you have people who are totally neurotic, who are totally thinking, how does this look? What does this mean? Why did they not say hello to me? Blah, 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 blah. It's just, if you look at kids, I mean, the beautiful, charming, free kid that just makes you smile every time you're around him, or some little sad, little neurotic, little thing that's trying to get you to do something. It's our relationship to God.
Amen. That's why we see him in everything. Now, again, we'll just skip real quick down to the verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, the only way you can keep his commandment is by hearing. You don't keep his commandment by doing. You keep it by hearing, and then what you hear is what you see. So let's go look at James again. We're going to spend probably the next few days on the last few verses. But
I was thinking about what you're talking now about when you're talking about the rituals that are performed. And a ritual in and of itself doesn't do anything. Dipping your hands in water doesn't sterilize your hands. But it's just the outward expression of something you know. And that expression is sufficient. Because that you are seeing.
Okay, here's in verse 22 of chapter 1 of James. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now you and I, or all of us, have heard 1,000 scriptures. Preachments based on that scripture. And they say, therefore, that means you should do this. You should go have an evangelistic campaign, or you should. But listen to what he said. Listen to the words. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, when you're a child, the spiritual definition of a child is that wherever you look or wherever you read, you see something for you. What does this mean to me? How can I use this? It's as natural as breathing. That's what all children do. The problem is now we are living in an age of spiritual infantilism, because the whole, when you listen to the broadcasts or the churches, they're telling you how you can get from God. And so by definition, when you was the subject of your sentence, then you're beholding your natural face in the glass. How can I get healed from God? How can I get something from God? How can I fix my marriage from God? How can I be at peace from God? No matter what it is, it's you are beholding your natural face in a glass, and then straight away what happens? I forgot. I forgot the cross. How could you forget the cross? You can't forget the cross. You can't. Then somebody looks at you wrong, and you're convinced that you're worthless because of some crazy thing that happened to you when you were a little kid or something. And so all of a sudden you don't get the approval, so then everything is wrong. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What? You're smiling wryly.
The guys at this table get it.
Huh?
Some of these guys get that. They're over here laughing. I get it.
For he beholdeth himself in a glass and then goeth his way, and straightway he forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forgets that he was the definition of sin and the definition of self-seeking, that sin isn't what you do, it's what you are. Trespass is what you do. Oh, but you can't. That comes against all the psychobabble in the universe. Everything that I've learned, and anybody that has any reality in them, will always tell me how I can improve myself. How can I improve my self-esteem? How can I achieve some manner of activity? No. Because, and then if you can't stand yourself, and you want to forget doing that, then you have to really start acting, and then you get all excited about doing something. Because that doing is your own redemption. That's how the system works. You're doing, that's why the first question that anybody ever asks you when you first meet them is, what do you do? Because everybody is interested in redemption, and they get their redemption from doing instead of from the blood of Christ. Capisce? That's why you forget, because something has come up that reminded you that you were this little worthless piece of crap that you knew you were when you were a little kid, and then somebody has reminded you of that, or somebody reminded you of their brother or some other horseshit, and then all it comes back, and so now I have to redeem myself by getting mad, by getting righteous, by getting huffy. What?
Oh, I was just thinking about that. That what you do, you know, what you're really saying is, are you better than me? Are you less than me? Are you more powerful than me? Can I use you? Are you of any value to me? That's what you're really saying. What's the definition of our pecking order?
think or he'd be about redemption. Your redemption then is by what you do as opposed to the blood of Christ. That's big. Because
That's our whole history.
I know. It's like doing
and if we can't do anything, we lie about it.
Maybe that'll do it. Come up with something that will redeem us.
You've got to have redemption. Redemption just means identity. And you only stop having the need for identity when you've seen the cross. That's why, this is why these things happen. That's why nothing is ever about what's going on over there. It's always what's going on over there was sent as an angel of God to reveal what's going on, what kind of worship you really have in here, in you as the temple. Right? Can you see why maybe I pick on some of you or a little bit?
Gary?
I understood a long time ago.
All right. And I want you to pick on me, which you do very well, especially Joysanna and Carolyn.
I've been holding back.
What?
I've been holding back.
You've been holding back?
Because you're sick.
Because you thought I knew that Chinese stuff.
Because you're sick. You feel sorry for it.
That's really kind of you. That's why you, and in your mind, you always beat me up.
No, I'm being nice.
But not in here.
That's redemption.
No, I'm being nice.
Oh, I see. All right. Right. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the same thing. And he sees the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his work, in his deed. I mean, his deed, yeah. The whole idea, it's all seeing. It's not doing. And seeing is dependent on what you hear. And that's why your ears have to be circumcised. They're circumcised by failure. Why the preaching of gain being godliness, then it slowly stitches up the places where the Holy Spirit had circumcised your ears, and then you can't hear anything. You're back again to looking wherever you see yourself, and how I can get something from God because God really, really loves me. And if you were the last one left in the whole world, God would still have laid down, Christ would have still given his life for you because he loves you so much. That's just crap. What?
In that vein, Joysanna has this wonderful refrigerator magnet.
We should outlaw refrigerator magnets.
Anyway, what does it say? Jesus loves you, but he likes me best. And that's what this sounds like.
Oh, sure.
The gospel sounds like.
Yeah.
You're getting to heaven too, but I'll have a better room.
Oh, I heard this in my father's house are many mansions, and then he was gonna. This was actually a preachment. He was saying that if you do what this guy is saying, then your mansion will really be good.
Guaranteed.
Go get that little outhouse in the back. It lives in that little cottage down by the Pearly Gates.
It's comic book theology because everybody is a spiritual infant, including us. So again, back to this verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil.
You did it.
No, we haven't.
What a foolish thing to say.
Just thought I'd throw it out.
But I'm it's Jaisana's fault. I'm into my rollover minutes.
Yeah, save a good part for you.
What?
Man, you're into February.
What?
You're into February's minutes.
No, I still got a whole bunch of them because we didn't meet.
No, you lose them at the...
All those days we...
the year,
huh?
The year, yeah.
Who said that?
They don't carry over from year to year.
It's like vacation time. You don't get to keep it.
Use it or lose it.
Take it, big guy.
You didn't notice how nice...